Good morning to you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. We've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving to Him. In our call to worship this morning, I want to draw your attention to a few verses at the end of Exodus chapter 30. Just by way of introduction, Exodus 24 through 30 are basically a primer in worship. God was teaching His children, the nation of Israel, how to worship Him. And it's interesting that God is the one that laid out how He wanted to be worshiped. He didn't leave anything to the creativity of the children of Israel. Every detail, I want to show you how specific it is. In verse 34 of chapter 30, as it comes to the conclusion of this primer on worship, he said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices," and he goes through the detail of how they are to make the spices for the tabernacle. Verse 35, "And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it in very, very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy." Now, this was the place where God would meet the priest and the children of Israel, and the odor of the tabernacle would spread outside the tent and go into the actual congregation of the children of Israel. They could smell the incense through there. Now listen to this. "And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people." Now, to some that don't have a spiritual heart, that said, well, how harsh God is, that He would not even share His perfume with the people, that they could wear it too. But what was the point? He's bringing a conclusion to how I am to be worshiped. Even the perfume that was used in the tabernacle that would waft across the congregation of the nation was God's perfume. And in the worship of Him, it was holy unto Him. What would happen to it if He allowed it to be used by the people? It was no longer special. It was no longer holy. It would be no longer something that drew the attention of the people to God. When they smelled that smell, they thought of Jehovah. They thought of Jehovah. I know you men know some of your wives' perfumes. And I can pick up a blouse for my wife, and I can smell my wife, the perfumes that she has. There's just something about that. I know that there's been times whenever I've been away, and she said, I can pick up some of your clothes, and I can smell you, you know, whenever you're away. There's a distinctive scent. And God had a prescribed perfume that was to be used in His worship and His worship only, so that when the people smelled it, they thought of Jehovah. Now, God declared that in His worship. And what do we have today? We have a manufactured idea of what we think we should do in our worship to God. And yet His book is very clear about how we are to worship Him. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what have we done? We've taken the truth and we've trampled it in the street. And our spirit is so far away from God's spirit that we can't even communicate with Him. How we need to get back to the Old Testament ideal, I think, of understanding that when we worship God, He is holy, He's high and lifted up. And He does not accept anything for worship. He accepts what He prescribes. Whenever He was teaching Jacob how to worship, He told him, said, "Jacob, when you come to Bethel to worship Me," Genesis 35, He said, "I want your children to change their clothes. I want you to get rid of their earrings. I want you to get rid of all the vestiges from Padan Aram, where you've lived with your father-in-law for 21 years. I want you to get all of that. That's not acceptable in the worship of God at Bethel." Jacob had to learn a new way of worshiping, and it wasn't one that he thought up on his own. He didn't creatively put together some kind of a package of worship to God. Isn't it interesting how the church, about every decade, comes up with something new of how to worship God. We've got praise teams. We've got this, that, and the other. We've got all these different things. And in the next decade, it'll be something else. But God says, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. And that's what we want to do today as we gather together and sing these hymns of praise to our Lord. Our desire is to revel in His truth and our spirit be joined with His spirit in the worship of God. Not something we manufacture, but something that's centered in the Word of God.